the good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, good afternoon, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Threather podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. Do what you can to help this channel. Help me to the road to 2K. And smash the like button on this video. And you can follow me on all socials. On today's episode, I'm joined by my Monday show regular Aaron Thornton, who's the host of the Football Brief. The AVFC Weekly Recap is back. This is the AVFC Weekly Recap, your weekly dose of Aston Villa news and headlines. Aston Villa burst West Ham's bubble. We are unstoppable. On Sunday yesterday in the Premier League, it was West Ham 2, Aston Villa 3. Slight drama at the London Stadium. Morgan Rogers scored an absolute screamer, and we showed fight and character. We are in the mix. The title race is definitely on. Everyone's start to take us seriously. We have won 9 games in a row. Late goals is becoming a regular thing at the moment with Unai Emery. It is a great time to be supporting our football club. Please do the show, Owen. How are you?
Mate, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on. And I'm absolutely buzzing, mate. I think these last few weeks have kept my mood very positive. I think when Villa win, it just makes everything better, doesn't it? So I can't complain. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I mean, we can't stop winning at the moment. I do think though, I mean, surely we are in the conversation. And like, you think though, like 9 games, like 9 wins in a row. It's unbelievable, run. Who knows, Aaron, where this run could take us?
I know. We'll touch on it later. But I just don't know. I don't know when it will end. I think you know it's easily the best team I've seen in my lifetime for Villa. It's completely unrecognisable to the teams that I've seen over the years. And credit to Unai Emery, the coaching staff and the club as a whole, you know, from top to bottom. It's really, really an amazing time to be a Villa fan right now. And we've just got to enjoy it.
Well, this team, I think, is the greatest Villa team in our lifetime we have ever watched. And Unai Emery, I've been saying the last few weeks, it feels something really special. I just not say, I just love the guy, Unai Emery. And I love his passion. You can see yesterday how much he meant to him, the results.
Yeah, mate, I just think, you know, I've always loved a passionate manager on the sidelines. When you see a manager giving it the fist pumps, you know, and celebrating every goal, you just feel so much sort of unity within the club, within the players and the staff. And Unai Emery is an absolute magician. He has done things for this club that I didn't think were possible or that we may not see in our lifetime. So I cannot thank him, you know.
There was late goals as well. It's been becoming a regular thing. But also, we don't see anybody that we know with the quality of squad we've got, we can beat anybody. And the winning feeling is becoming a regular occurrence.
I don't know about you, Chad, but like these last few weeks absolutely killed my heart because we've been winning by like one goal, and then we're sort of like, I don't want to say hanging on in the last sort of like 5 minutes, but it's definitely been, you know, it's been sort of tetchy times when it's like the last sort of few minutes of the game, and I'm like, my heart is sort of there pounding. I'm like, come on, see it through, see it through. Mm-hmm. I did it again yesterday, but like, my anxiety has been suffering. It's like, it's
his team. He shows so much fight and character. You know, we will come to it, but even though we don't play at our best,
yeah,
we managed to grind out these results, which is a sign of a class team.
Yeah, it's a mentality that Unai has instilled in the players, and it's now sort of leading into the fans as well. Like, you know, I didn't panic yesterday at any point because I had that belief that we would go and score, would go and, you know, get a late winner. And it's you know, like you just said then, we're getting so used to that feeling. It's becoming normal now. So yeah, don't want it to end.
Yeah. Just looking at more detail about the game. So, yeah. What is your thoughts from yesterday?
So my overall thoughts, I didn't think we were great, if I'm being honest, especially the first half.
Yep.
It was, you know, the I'm not going to go through it in order, but the first goal that they scored, and
God, he's only 29 seconds. The quickest goal of the season so far.
Yeah, and it was just, look, you know, I know we've got a no excuse culture, and you know, we've played a lot of games, done a lot of travelling, and Konsa, who is usually Mr. Assured, doesn't put a foot wrong,
yes,
made a mistake. It happens. It was annoying, but you know, I didn't begrudge him for it, because it's like, you know, it's Konsa never does that. But I think with the volume of games that are happening at the minute, like, mistakes can happen to anybody. What the important thing is how you rectify that and how you then go on. And you know, he then was sort of at fault for the second goal as well. We talked about that, but so yeah, I thought we were shaky. I didn't think we really got into our rhythm the first half.
Defensively,
Well,
you can see that. I think you can definitely see that. Yeah, I think without Emi Martinez and Paul Torres, you can see that was a big loss. Because you can see, obviously, if Martinez plays and Paul Torres, I don't think that would have happened.
Yeah, no, I agree. When I saw the team sheet, I mean, I thought after the Arsenal game, I noticed Pau had an ice bag over his calf. And I did think, I wonder if he's going to play next week. So yeah, huge blow, Pau Torres, who's been, you know, he's been arguably one of our best players this season, and especially in that Unai Emery system, he's so important. And then with Emi Martinez as well, you know, he just disrupts that back four a bit. But having said that, again, I'm sure we'll touch on, I thought Lindelof was immense yesterday. I thought he
had a very good match.
I thought he, and I know we conceded, and I know, you know, there wasn't a clean sheet, but I thought his sort of leadership and his experience really sort of shone through. So yeah, I was impressed with him, and which sort of bodes well, because I don't think we're going to have Pau for the Man United game either. So that was good to see.
The Lindelof thing, and that's the first full game, the Premier League game that he played. And he does show that leadership, and he's really strong, winning those battles as well.
Yeah.
He's got his height, his physical presence.
He's a bit of a no-nonsense defender, isn't it? I always think that, like, Konsa's more of your pacey defender who can sort of read the game a bit. Pau Torres hasn't got the pace, but is a bit better aerially. Whereas Lindelof seems to have like a bit of everything. And I think, obviously, playing at Man United for so many years, you know, it's no small club. So he's clearly picked up a lot, and he's won things. So I thought his experience really sort of showed yesterday.
Playing the ball out from the back. When he got the ball, he's very confident. Bringing the ball up out forward. Like, you know, he's got confidence.
Yeah, and calm, bit of a calming. He was certainly the better of the two centre backs yesterday. Which, look, I love Konsa, and he's not put a foot wrong for a very long time. So look, it's one of those games where you own up to your mistake and you move on. But I did think Lindelof was the better defender yesterday. So that
was a great victory, I thought. But I thought West Ham, though, you're going to give credit to West Ham. They made it hard for us because they pressurised us, forcing us into a few mistakes. That's it, playing the ball out from the back.
Yeah.
We got caught out a few times. What it is, Bizot, he needs to adapt playing out from the back. We know Martinez, he's used to doing that, but Bizot's still got to get to know how to play the ball out from the back.
Yeah, agreed. The nice thing is Bizot's a lot more comfortable on the ball than Olsen. So it's certainly, and I'm not as nervy when he does have it. I am still a bit nervy, not like I was with Olsen. But yeah, like look, he'll, you know, the more he plays, and I'm sort of glad that he's played against Brighton, he's played against West Ham, he's had these games in the Prem, like, and not easy fixtures either, tough grounds, and that's only going to do well for his experience going forward. Because Martinez, you know, we don't know what his situation is going to be moving forward, and so it's good to have at least he's a bit more competent in goal, Bizot, than Olsen. But I agree with you. I think West Ham made it tricky. But Unai, again, you know, he makes these tweaks, these substitutions, these formation tweaks, and his in-game management it's unrivaled at the minute. Like every game, he seems to do something.
And yesterday, I absolutely loved his passion. He was so animated on the time that you could see after that victory how much it meant to Unai Emery. And he was determined to put this game right. Either when we're losing, but we seem to just come up with the answers. We always have the answers.
Yeah, it's, you know, you think after West Ham scored their first goal, there was pretty much an immediate response from, I know it was a known goal, but obviously sort of Watkins, you know, sort of had the chance. And like that immediate response was just, it's becoming a Villa thing now where, yeah, okay, we go a goal down, but we're not going to panic. We're going to sort of compose ourselves. We're going to play our game. You know, we're confident within ourselves that we're going to have a shot. Or chances will come, and it's about taking them. And at the minute, we are taking them. So, like we just find ways. And I think again, like Unai just makes these little tweaks, and the in-game management is just so good. I thought very much first half wasn't great, but second half was much better. And then obviously. The main man, who I'm sure we'll speak about, was
Morgan Rogers.
Just quality, mate. Just quality.
He was a star of the show, he was.
Yeah. I thought Jamie Carragher made a really good point. I didn't watch it on Sky, but I saw the I saw the clip where he was saying, like, the technique that Morgan Rogers uses, like, we're all accustomed to seeing it with free kicks. But to see in open play is quite a new thing, and yeah, he's really like finessed that technique now. He's got it down, hasn't he?
Another guy with us as well. With Rogers in that game, for the very first whistle, he set the tone. Like he's linking up with like his teammates. With Rogers, he always works hard. And, you know, he's got great awareness, Rogers. The players around him. He's very aware of his surroundings, I think, as well. And he brings us that extra quality. And that's why he's an England international for a reason.
Yeah, he really does, mate. And I agree with you. I think from the first whistle yesterday, he was just sort of gliding around effortlessly, wasn't he? He was like gliding around the pitch. And I don't know, as soon as, I mean, the first goal that he scored was just, you know, to get in the box, the touch, the, you know, and the awareness to know where everyone is, take that touch, bang, goal, done. And then that second goal, like, as soon as Lindelof put the ball into him and he turned and he had that space, I don't know, I just had a feeling, I was like, he's going to score, he's going to shoot and score this. Like, he just had so much time, and you sort of saw, you could see his mind just thinking what he's going to do, and it was like, right, yeah, I'm going to hit this. And it was just like, wow. But yeah, no, he was great. I thought he, like, again, him, Lindelof, Mattsson were our better players. Yeah. I thought the midfield on the whole was fairly quiet. Like, I know Kamara and Nanana, they do the industrial work, like, and you know, they'll get in and amongst it. But I thought on the whole, they McGinn as well, like, they sort of a bit quiet, really. Which, you know, but this is what you were saying, you know, any potential title challenges, they, you know, they, even if they don't play at their best, they find ways to win. And at the minute, that's exactly what we're doing.
And Rodgers, a joy to watch. But the whole thing about Rodgers is he's never afraid to have a go. Look, he's always looking, look, he's always around. He's always there. I think he's very reliable. And also, he's very effective with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, and I think he's probably proved, Andrew and I, proved you and me wrong again, because I know at the start of the season, we were sort of saying, well, I definitely was. I think you maybe said it a couple of times, like, look, let's maybe rest him and let's, you know, I feel like he's maybe playing too many games. But Unai persisted, and it's almost like, nope, I'm going to play him through this slump. And again, he's proved us wrong, because he's got over that little patch he had at the start of the season. It's almost like he's become a better player for it now. And credit to him and Unai, because he's now looking like the real deal again, and everyone's starting to notice.
Good idea, Morgan Rodgers. He thrives off pressure. He's sort of one of those players where he likes the responsibility on his shoulders. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think he's got that. He's got such a maturity about him that, you know, he's only 23, and he's got a really good maturity about him to lose the ball, but then to have the confidence to then think, no, I'll try again. I'm going to get on the ball. I want the ball again. Give it to me. Yes. I'll do it. And to have that sort of that arrogance and that confidence or belief is such a maturity in a young player. And I think credit to him for his mental strength. Credit to Unai for allowing him to sort of flourish and giving him the tools. And yeah, like, I just love the way he speaks. You hear him after the game, he's just so analytical, and he's so, like, he's very smart and intelligent when he's talking about the game. And yeah, he honestly, mate, the way he's going, he's going to be an absolute world beater.
And he scored. An absolute screamer yesterday. You can see it at a way end. The limbs are at a way end. You have the space. Then you shoot. You give him the space. I knew that after the post-match conference. He said, we gave Rodgers too much space. If you can play with that much space, he's going to hit it.
Yeah, exactly. And he's that technique to score, that the way he hits it, I think they call it the knuckleball, and like the way he hits it, he dips over, and like it's with such like venom as well. Like, he absolutely smashed it, but also got the technique to make it dip. It's just and we needed it, because we, you know, it's those moments of magic, those moments of brilliance that get you over the line. And he, you know, in another away performance, you think about Leeds, he got two. Think about Tottenham, he scored that screamer. He's really becoming like the star man for Villa, you know, Mr. Reliable now. And long may it continue.
Oh, no, I think Morgan Rodgers, he's a real joy to watch. I actually thought watching him fascinating. Let's remember, it's remarkable that Emery, like a Monchi, signed him from Middlesbrough. God, we thought about things at Man City not long ago. You can see with Emery, he knew what a talented player Rodgers is going to be. He could see his potential.
Yeah, it was when we played him in the FA Cup in that January, wasn't it? A couple of years ago, and he sort of wowed Emery in that game. And Emery was like, kept tabs on him and was like, I want him. So, and there's a clip that always goes around on the socials, a couple of guys talking about how Middlesbrough have had Villa's pants down because of the transfer fee. I think it's like 12 rising to 15 million, yeah, which now is like an absolute snippet.
Well, I think he's going to just be like, you're not Jude Bellingham. I think he could be that sort of category. That's how good I think he is at the moment.
I think he's already, honestly, mate, I think he's already there. I just think because Bellingham plays for Madrid, like, he gets all the accolades, doesn't he? But when I look at his sort of profile and I look at the way he carries himself and he's sort of like, his athleticism and his stature. Oh, yeah. I think he's already there, mate. Like, he's in the England team. He's playing European football.
A great stamina.
Yeah, like, he's unusual for like a guy that tall to be such a good ball carrier. Like, he, you know, his feet are like insanely quick as well. So, I think if he keeps fit and he keeps performing, that World Cup spot's his, man.
He's very good with his feet. I mean, he's good with both feet, I think.
Yeah, he is, which is a rarity these days, which is insane, really, when you think about it. When footballers are getting paid so much and they train every day, you'd expect all of them to be able to use both feet. But he's very good. He's very good with both feet.
And in general, really, that guy is a great advert for the Premier League. He's a great guy in the football, I thought. Just in general, I think. Look, you're a neutral fan watching that. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, especially, I think there was a moment in the first half where, like, it was going end-to-end at one point. West Ham will attack, Villa will attack, and then it was going back and forth. And, yeah, for a neutral, you know, it's a great game to watch. We do need to stop with the silly away goals, though. Like, we do concede silly goals, and we gift teams.
Talk to them for a little bit, yeah.
And so, like, it's good that we're winning, but, you know, I think Morgan Rogers even said it himself, like, we need to stop doing that. Yeah. There's going to be teams and times where we might not be able to get back into it so easy. So,
for sure, Emery, I think he knows this. Emery wasn't completely satisfied because, I can say, even when we scored that winner, the third goal, he actually wasn't really jumping up and down. The ink can always redid.
Yeah. I think as well, he probably thought that, like, there was still enough time where West Ham could possibly score. And because we conceded two sloppy goals, you know, there's always that fear that we could do it again. So I imagine he's like, right, we've got that third goal now, but now I need to think about how we're going to shut up shop and make sure that we don't concede again. And, you know, so, yeah, but we did it. And, you know, another 3 points on the board. And
the winning feeling's still there, isn't it? We beat Man United, that 10 wins in a row, you get to double figures.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game. It's always a bit of a tricky fixture. But hopefully being at home, you know, gives us that advantage and we use it. And we've got a week now. I don't know if the week rest is going to do us any good because we've been doing really well with the sort of Thursday, Sunday games. We seem to be like a good flow at the minute. So,
and we are the comeback kings.
We are. But I would like to just go ahead with like 3 or 4 goals for once and just like enjoy the game in the first half and actually enjoy it and be like, right, I can sit back a bit now and not have a heart attack.
Does it get mad also? It's only made one as well. But what I've done, Yamar, then. So once again, he was affected yesterday. I think yesterday, he was on the pitch for a minute. He always seems to make things happen. An attempt on target. And he's a real great player to bring on off the bench. Honestly, every time he plays, he just wows me, I think.
he's an absolute beast, isn't he? And I think he's such a good option to have either starting, but also, like, you know, that if you need a bit of impetus and you want to try and, like, really, you know, stretch their defence, you bring on Marlon. And like you just said, literally, he came on. And with his first two touches, one touch, second touch, bang. Like, he just took a shot straight away. And, like, the keeper had to, like, parry it. And it was just, you know, he's just so sharp. And he wants that goal immediately. And I love it because he never comes on and looks, like, slow. He's always, like, ready and he's in the game straight away. So, yeah, no, he's going to be a really big asset, especially over these next sort of three fixtures we've got with Man U, Chelsea, Arsenal. You know, it's going to be important. So, yeah.
It's what makes you a strong team. Yeah. Look at the Man City, like, things gone by. He's going to used to bring on, say, Edin Dzeko, quality players.
Yeah.
That they can bring on off the bench, which can change a game. And Daniel Marlon's one of those players. He changes games. And his pace as well. He's got so much pace.
Yeah, mate, he's a lot of explosive strength and power. And it's just good because he's different, isn't he? Like, Watkins obviously offers a certain package, and then Marlon's different to him. So we've got different profile of players, which is always good because it means you can adapt and change to other teams.
And he's become the fans' favorite, one of the fans' favourites.
Yeah.
Go to the next talking about, we'll talk about the predicted lineups.
Yeah.
So I've got them all on the screen first. So
cool.
This is my predicted lineup to face Man United on Sunday.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't know about Martinez and Torres, the extent of their injury.
Yeah.
I did say that Martinez might fit Man United game. And Torres might be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
So this is what I've gone with. So I thought I would go only slightly different. Originally, I was going to go with what you was going to go with.
Okay.
I thought I'd just do something different. So this is what I've gone with. Also, you went for Onana in the midfield.
Yeah.
I put Tielemans and Kamara. Then I thought playing Daniel Marder with Watkins together to give us an extra firepower up front.
I actually really like that, Chad. And the more I'm looking at it and the more I'm thinking about it, and I know the home game against Burnley was different because different team, and he played Marlon and Watkins together, and it really worked well. And I know Man United are a completely different animal to Burnley, but you know, with a week's rest, players fit, Watkins, Marlon, I quite like that. Being at home as well, like going on the front foot, I would actually quite like Marlon and Watkins to start together and just sort of go at Man United and, you know, go in straight away. So I really like that, Chad. I think that's actually a good idea.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, I saw in Ian Matson. I was debating between Dinya, but I got to Ian Matson.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit better outlook, like going forward. Yeah. And it's been Matson also. Matson started against Arsenal. And I think in Matson, I like the way he tracks back.
He kept Saka fairly quiet. And I think with Man United, they've got the Ahmad, haven't they, who's quite tricky on the wing and pacey. So I think if they, you know, if Matson's up against him, he'd be good to try and match him in terms of getting back and sort of trying to keep him quiet. So I think it's his left back position at the minute. I think he's the starter right now. I think that's a good shout.
And Dinya as well. Dinya is younger, and I don't think Dinya has got the pace like Matson has. He likes to whip it in. Dinya likes to get to the byline and whip it in.
Yeah, there's certainly games. Like the good thing is now that they're two left backs who offer something a bit different, and there are games for both of them where, like, there's certain games where Dinya will start, and I quite like that at the minute, and I do think this game is probably for Mattsson. But then it's Unai. I wouldn't be surprised if we come to next week and Dina's in. But I agree with you. I do think it would be Mattsson.
And Lindelof against his old club.
Yeah. It's meant to be, isn't it? Yeah. I think that.
I mean, back realize, four... actually, under them to score against Man United.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd be good.
Then they got Kamara and Tielemans. They're going to have this double pivot.
Yeah.
Another thing, Onana, I think, bring him on off the bench. Not physically like something to like give you like to think about.
Yeah.
The second half.
I can see that, mate. I really can. I think you could be onto something, mate. Honestly, I think it could be this team.
Yeah. So we're going to your predicting lineup against Man United. To get on the screen. So this is your team. So what's your thinking behind this team?
It seems boring, doesn't it? But I think it's the same as yesterday, really. Apart from obviously, I think we sort of got told that Martinez would most likely be back, so he goes straight back in, and then the back four sort of sells itself. And Lindelof, you know, you think about it. Obviously, he can't do what Pau does, but yet the one time he did go forward yesterday, he got the assist, played it through the lines to Morgan Rogers. Morgan Rogers scored, so that'll give him a bit of confidence. And I think playing against your old club as well, I think Lindelof will be bang up for it. And then, I prefer the way that you put Tielemans, because I like Tielemans sort of a bit deeper, because I think he can just sort of spray the ball a bit more. I don't mind him in the attacking roles because he can offer that, but I do quite like him deeper. But I just think if he's looking to pack out the midfield, then he's going to do the three, isn't he? The Kamara, Onana pivot. And then I think Rodgers on the left was just, again, yesterday he was just magic. So I think
phenomenal he was,
He's got to be on that left-hand side. And then obviously John McGinn on the right and Watkins up top. You know, Watkins has now got a decent bit of rest the week. Hopefully he scored again
yesterday.
So, well, his own goal, wasn't it? But like, I suppose in his mind.
Oh yeah, went down to own goal, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a shame. It was a good header, but you know.
It's a shame for him, yeah.
But he's got in the position and he's got himself there in that moment to make that header. So I just want him to start scoring. Could you imagine if we're playing the way we're playing and then Ollie Watkins starts to fire as well? Like, it just makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? So
because then you've got all the players, different options. All scoring on all centers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also Lindelof. I think he brings a lot of experience. Lindelof's a very experienced defender. And I think as well, he might be useful in set pieces with his height.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he's you know, I know at Man United he popped up and scored goals here and there. Look, I know Sancho's not gonna play because obviously he's on loan, so there'll be no Sancho. He won't feature at all. So I thought he might have a part to play yesterday, but he didn't come on. So that means he won't play for 2 weeks. So there'll be no Sancho, which then leaves obviously got Buendia, Gesson, and then obviously then there'll be Marlon as well on the bench. So you know, there's a few players that can sort of interchange and come on, but I think you know.
Yeah. And Onana and Tielemans, they all seem fellow countrymen. So they've got a good chemistry and they understand each other's game. Onana brings the physical side of the game. And Tielemans has the vision.
Yeah.
And he reads the game really well, Tielemans, I think.
No, Tielemans is superb. You know, you look at the game in midweek where he came on against Basel and just basically took the game by the scruff of the neck and was just like, right, let's just, you know, I'll get that goal, I'll make a few passes and then we're just going to shut up shop, and just really sort of came on and just led by example. And he's such a smart player, clever player, and to have him on a free, or to have had him on a free, sorry, he's just, it just, yeah. Again, another, more good business done by Aston
Villa. And Yuri Tielemans, he makes me feel very calm. He's very composed with the ball. and like, in a way, like, he's got great long range passes. He's got range of passing is unbelievable.
It really is, and that's sort of what I like where you would put him, because although I like Onana there in terms of being a physical presence, that there was a couple of times yesterday, and I noticed midweek he sort of gave the ball away. It was a bit too long. Spent a bit too long on the ball. Not all the time. He's definitely sometimes, much better now. But a bit sometimes got to, too many touches, a bit slow, and got caught out of possession. So like, you just got to be careful. So having Kamara next to him helps. But I do like Tielemans further back because I just love.
He's consistent.
Who, Tielemans?
He never puts a foot wrong. I don't think really.
No. He's immense. He's also, I feel like he's future captain material as well. Like, you know, between McGinn, Konza, Tielemans, you've got a really good, like...
Belgium international?
Yeah. Good leadership group there.
So, we move on to the next talking point then.
Yep.
Let's talk about Gaston. What are your mind on Gaston's performances? Do you think he's improving?
I think the jury's still out, Chad, to be honest. I don't, you know, he's definitely played more minutes than I thought he would. Sort of the start of the season he did. And I don't know, you know, we weren't playing well start of the season, so could you coincide that with him playing? I don't know, might have sounded a bit unfair. So I thought Thursday he took his goal well, but I actually thought on the whole he was quite sloppy still. And I don't want to be negative because he scored the goal. Yep. I just don't quite know. I don't quite know where he plays. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds a bit silly because he's been playing on the right, but I just don't really understand his profile. Like Marlon, I understood. Yep. It took me a couple of games first game. I was like, okay, I sort of get Marlon. And we sort of know. We know his role now. We know where he fits in. Even like Sancho coming in, and I know, like, we know when he plays, we sort of know where he plays, even though he's been okay, but like, we sort of know what he offers and what he does. With Son, I thought he was, I think he's a bit erratic. Physically, he's strong, but like, you know, there was a lot of times on Thursday where he's like throwing his arm and pulling back, and it's So,
I mean, sometimes what I think he does, he holds onto the ball far too long.
Yeah.
He sort of dwells on the ball a bit too long. And also, you should just do it simple, don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I think that's the biggest issue for me is holding on to the ball too long. And look, after what Emery's done since he's been here, like, every time he sort of proved us wrong, then there's players that have developed under him and maybe have taken a bit longer. So, you know, I fully trust Emery and I'm giving him time to adapt into Emery's system. But I, you know, you're asking me, do I think he's improved? I don't think I've seen much difference because, like, his work rate, he's a hard worker. And he was a hard worker from the first time he played and even to Thursday. Like, he gets back and he defends. So the work rate's the same. In terms of his, like, quality, I don't see much improvement. Yes, he got a goal on Thursday, but that's only... He's got two goals now, as in Europa, and they've both been a bit scrappy.
The fans need to be patient with him or not.
Yeah, no, they need to be patient. I mean, look, let's... You know, Leon Bailey didn't hit the ground running straight away in his first sort of season. And I know we want, in this world where we want, you know, instant gratification, we want players to adapt straight away, but that's unfortunately not the reality. So yes, we do need to give him a bit of time. Fortunately for him, other players have been stepping up. If we were relying on Gaston as our superstar signing, then I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm sort of worried now, but, I don't know. The jury's still out for me. I'm not going to bash him. Yeah. I don't like fans giving him stick. I think that's unfair. But he does need to step up. He does need to raise the levels a bit for me now. I think, you know, especially with the running and squad rotation, I want him to come on and I want to know that Gaston's on. Yeah, we've got a good option now. A bit like Marlon. When Marlon comes on, we're ready for him. We're like, yes, Marlon. I want to get to that level where I'm like, yes, Gesson's coming on. Where at the minute I'm like, okay, Gesson,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
You're also doing guests. You're not going so hard the end yet. You're not getting picked ahead of him. The thing is, you know, Emery, he must buy me. Let me make his things so that we can't see. That he also trusts him. He has been contributing to the squad. But also, Emery must, you know, he knows things. He knows a lot.
Yeah, I think for me, yeah, I agree with that, Chad. I think, you know, yeah, Emery clearly sees things that we don't, and whether that's with Harvey Elliott, whether that's with Gesson. I think for me, looking at yesterday's game, and, you know, our right side's been a problem for a long time. I'm looking at Gerard Bowen for West Ham, and I'm like, we need that. If we had, like, someone like him or him on our right side, I just think that would solve so many problems. Because he's just such a nightmare. And he gets back, but he can get forward. He goes to the byline. Like, he's a lot more of a traditional winger, but he can be inverted. Whereas I think that's what Gesson is. It's sort of like an inverted winger, but, like, doesn't really offer the width or hasn't got the pace for the width. So, like, yeah, I just think someone like Bowen would be unreal for us. That's what I sort of... When I look at
our right side... His dad supports us to develop.
I know. There's a bit of a link there, isn't there? I don't think isn't Bowen like a Coventry fan? Or have I made that up? I don't know. But I know his dad's
a... Well, he supports West Ham. I know his dad. He was a season ticket holder.
So, I mean, I would... If I'm Emery and I'm Villa and we've got some funds and we think, you know, like, there's a real chance we can push for, we want to, you know, consolidate top four, I would look at someone like Bowen and think if we can afford him,
for that
right side, I think that
that's
would be
an upgrade. That's a real upgrade, that is.
Proper upgrade, man. And I just think that's the sort of player you want to bring in January to, like, really help push us for that, like, title charge. I'm joking. For the top four. But yeah, Gesson, I don't know. The minute 35 million, although in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot, it's looking like quite a lot at the minute, because I don't really think we have much for to show for it. So,
well, as utilised, you're not the Europa League guys, it's not the stereotyping, but he's looking at Europa League sort of player. I think it's similar a bit to Leon Bailey. Like, I don't think he's as good as Leon Bailey, but he's that sort of player.
I think he's going to be more
consistent.
Yeah, I agree. I think Leon Bailey is much better. I think he's more like a Bertrand Traoré at the minute.
That's a good comparison.
That's who he reminds me of. He's almost a bit... Bertrand Traoré... I can't say his name. Traoré.
Was
a bit like Bambi on ice, wasn't he? And Gesson's not that bad. He's a bit more... He's got a bit more stability on the ball, but he just still looks a bit wiry and a bit like... I don't know, man. I don't... Yeah, he's just a tough one. He doesn't fill me with confidence, but I'm willing to give him, you know... Just at least the season. Give him a full season to see how he adapts, and then let's see how he starts. And I know that sounds ridiculous. When you pay so much for a player, you want him to hit the ground running, but it doesn't always work that way. So,
I think is very lightweight. All sort of thing. I don't think he's definitely not going to be a first team starter.
No,
with his performances.
No, but, you know, if he's, you know, he's a different, he's a bit of a weird profile of player.
You think
if we need something different off the bench, just to give the defence something to think about, to get in and amongst it, like, I believe he can be that player. He looks like a bit of a nuisance because he's quite big, isn't he? A bit of a physical presence. Like, I wouldn't want to, he'd be a bit of annoying to play against. Not because of his skill, but just because he's just a presence. But, that would be that's one thing. With the fixture congestion coming up, you know, these big fixtures, he might have a part to play. I do believe in my heart of hearts, there's going to be a game in the next maybe 3 or 4 games where, like, he comes on and scores the winner or scores a really important
goal. That's what we need.
So you can quote me on that, and you can bookmark this. But I think he's.
And we saw in, and also in January. In January, we saw that 19-year-old Brazilian. Is it Alisson or something?
Alisson, yeah. Never heard of him. Yeah. Never seen him. But I've seen obviously people then put on the socials like clips of him and stuff. And mate, yeah, like an attacking player.
Is he? Who knows? Maybe. Good luck for us up to the top of the league.
This is it, man. Yeah, he was watching the game yesterday. He put on his socials that he's watching the Villa West Ham game. So yeah, he's already pretty much done deal. So,
and most of our signings have been successful. We're not saying all of them, but I think, I mean, some of the scouting we have sort of got spot on.
No, I agree. I think, you know, definitely look at Rodgers, Tielemans, Onana. Mattson's now coming good. And also, like, the signings have been good, but then the players that were there have like, look at Matty Cash, you look at McKinn. Like, always he's really turned them into absolute, like, ballers. So,
you know, every single player, Emery has developed every single player. He's always really improved. They don't really improve, haven't they?
He really has, mate, yeah. So, look, Gesson still has time. And like I say, I think over this festive period, I think he's going to have a big part to play in one of the games. I don't know which one. I don't know when or how, but he's going to have a part to play. So,
we're going to the next talking point. So, they're still going to annoy Emery. So, how long can Aston Villa with Emery keep this good run going? So, get up on the screen so we've got the fixtures we've got. I think he's going through the festive period all the way through to January. Don't you think I'm going to keep going? How far can Emery take this team?
First and foremost, we need to get an apartment or a place in London, because we're going to be spending our winter in London by the looks of things. 1, 2, 3, 4 fixtures, including yesterday. That's five. That would have been five fixtures in London. Excuse me. So, I think, I'll be really honest with you, Chad. I thought yesterday was going to be our banana skin. I thought after the amount of games we've played, I thought West Ham away.
Well, it could have been. I mean, it could have been.
I thought the run would potentially end yesterday. So, but after we ground out that win and we got that result, I'm now looking, thinking, I honestly don't know. Look, these games are hard. Arsenal's the one where I think, I mean, all of them are potential banana skins. Man United are a bit of a bogey team, but our home form at the minute and our momentum, I can see us getting a result.
The fortress,
Chelsea is a tough one. Maybe a
Chelsea, to be honest, I think Chelsea, people that struggle, because usually we struggle at Stamford Bridge.
I feel like we hit and miss. I feel like in recent years we've won a couple games there, but then last year we did. I think we got battered last year. It was like 2-0 or something. But I don't know with Chelsea. It's a bit of a weird one. Arsenal depends on their injuries. If they get their defenders back, I think it could be a different sort of game. But I honestly don't know, Chad, which is a really bad answer, just because we I thought yesterday was going to be the game.
I get what you mean, yeah.
We found a way. So Palace is always a rough game for us. So that,
well, no, Kryptonite.
Palace like to end our run. So, I mean...
No weakness, though.
In my head, I was like, right, if we can beat Basel, beat Arsenal, Basel, West Ham, get that week. Mm-hmm. So we've got a nice week now. And then get into those sort of next set of games. Honestly, yes. I think we'd be okay. So I think we beat Man United. I think we, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Man United, because what it is, they're a bit of a bogey team, Man United.
I want to.
We haven't beat Man United since Emery's first game. That was the last time we beat Man United.
A Luka Dean free kick, yeah. I remember it well. And also, I just want to beat them. Like, I really don't. I hate losing to Man United.
Oh, yeah, Man United, I always love to beat Man United.
Look, I don't know when the run will end, but I'm wary of these next three fixtures. It's going to be tough. But what we have done, we've built up a really good cushion of points, you know, between us and Chelsea, and we put ourselves in a good position where if we do drop points, then it's not the end of the world because, you know, we have points in the bank and we're sort of in a good position. I don't want to drop points, obviously, but you know, we're in a good position. So if we do, we do. It's not the end of the world.
I know, this time before, it guarantees Champions League. Yeah. That should be a target for Aston Villa every season. A lot of this season, actually, to automatically qualify.
Yeah.
They're not just to get fourth.
Yeah, I agree. Not
indeed in 23-24.
No, I agree, mate. How many points do you think we'll take from the next three games? So before the rest of December, Man U, Chelsea, Arsenal. What do you think the points will be?
Well, I think so Man United. I think we'll win that game. I can see Villa Park's a fortress. We rarely lose a game at home. We never lose a game at home. Then I think Chelsea. To be honest, Chelsea, I think we'll lose.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. I think like last time, last season, it's always a tough place to go to Stamford Bridge. Then I think Arsenal, I think realistically, that's difficult, that is. I'm really sorry, it might be good enough to get a new draw.
Arsenal's injuries. Yeah, exactly. Also, though, I think Arteta's going to have him. Bang up for it. I think they're going to be fired.
Well, they want revenge.
I could see. Yeah, exactly. They're going to want revenge. I could see. I think I agree with you. I think I would like a win against Man United. It's going to be tricky, but I think if I'm going to be positive, I'm going to say win against Man United. I'm going to say draw against Chelsea. I'm going to say potentially a loss against Arsenal, just because.
Yeah, well, if it happens, it's at the Emirates.
I think they're just going to be, after that last-minute winner, I think they're going to be, Arteta's going to have them fired up. And we've got a bit of a rivalry now with Arsenal because of Unai Emery. It's a bit of a personal thing, isn't it? So, you know, we'll see.
If we beat Arsenal, you imagine that? Then we can go top before the new year.
I mean, if we beat Arsenal, I think Man City fans will be kissing us. I think
then it is a title. Then we are a title chance. Then
Arsenal will officially hate us because, like,
they would have bottled it.
We always seem to like derail their title hopes. So, that it's going to be tough, mate. I think we could get, you know. Sounds really negative, like 4 points. Look, at the minute, I back us against anybody. I think injuries are going to play a part. Hopefully, we can sort of get a couple of players.
We need to keep fit.
That's the big thing. I
got spoke to Joey Contansworth for The Athletic.
Yeah,
and he said the same thing. Look, it all depends on obviously injuries. Like, if we can keep a fully fit squad, then we will definitely get Champions League.
Yeah, if we can keep a fit squad for these next three games, we don't lose any players, we get a couple of players back, we get into January, and then you can start, you know, hopefully getting a couple of players in to, like, add to the squad to help sort of take the pressure off the others. Like, that would be the perfect position for us. So, injuries is a big thing. I agree.
I think we'll beat Forest. I think Crystal Palace.
I don't know.
I think we'll lose. You'd think not really. They're booing it in. They're sort of like, Kryptonite Crystal Palace. I don't enjoy playing Crystal Palace. I mean, Tottenham, I think they've got a great record at Tottenham's best stadium.
Yeah,
so I think we'll win that one, I think. But yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm going with, I think.
Okay. I can see that, you know. It's so hard to tell because we're just absolutely, the momentum right now is insane and we're not used to it.
It's momentum. It's with us.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory as fans because we don't know, we don't quite know like what to expect, and we're not used to this, so like we don't know how it works. So you know.
Also, so moving to my last question.
Yeah.
Why is Aston Villa's bench so strong, especially this season?
I think having players back from injury was one. I think, you know, the likes of Barkley at the time and Buendia back in the squad and players like that who've sort of been around Emery for a while now. They know him, they know his system. We didn't really sell anybody in the summer, so we sort of kept the main nucleus of the squad, which is great. I mean, arguably, it's not as talented as last year when we had like Rashford and Asensio. But we do have good depth, good rotation. I think what Emery's doing really well this season, Chad, he's actually managing the squad well with the minutes and rotation.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like everyone's sort of keeping fairly fresh and fairly fit. He's not overdoing it with players. And so I think that is a reason as well why it's looking good. So that's why I think. Yeah. What about you?
I think we've got so many options. What he does is he seems to utilise them at the right time. He knows exactly when to bring these players on.
Yeah.
The likes of Donny Amarna.
Yeah.
Even like the time he put Ross Barkley on.
Yeah.
And they all make an impact to the game. In the likes of, like, you know, Emi Buendia, because it obviously impacts as well.
Yeah.
Those sort of players change games.
Yeah, yeah. And he was someone that, like, we didn't, you know, think was going to be around, Buendia. And don't forget, there's Harvey Elliott, who doesn't even get a look into. He's going to go back in January, surely. So, yeah, I think, and we've got a lot of different players now, like, who offer something different. So, like, you know, like you saw yesterday, well, Marlon and Digne came on, and then the whole formation changed. It's like players are they allow Emery then to adapt his system or change his system, which is like so. It's just having that flexibility within the squad as well, which makes a big difference.
I think a strong bench gives you a great chance to qualify for Champions League.
Yeah.
If you have a great bench, then you know you're going to be up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. You have to, because otherwise, you know, especially when you're playing Thursday, Sunday, like you need that rotation, you need that squad depth, because players, as much as you know, as fit as they are, they're athletes, but like they need rest. Everyone needs rest. Because that's how injuries occur, isn't it? So, he's doing that.
We had as well. We had a very competitive squad, and all that is competition for places.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you show that Emery likes that?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, he's. I think he like having two players for his position, which is what I think most
flexibility. Another thing as well. He likes players that are versatile and flexible.
Yeah. Who can play in like multiple roles. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them, you think about the front line that we've got, like a lot of them can play left side, right side. Some can play up front. So like there is that flexibility, which is good.
Well, thank you, Aaron. That was a great weekly recap. I really enjoyed it. If you're done with these, throw it a wall because there have been so many match previews, because I think But I'm also enjoying the real positivity at the moment.
Mate, there used to be therapy sessions for us, and now it's turned into, I don't know, like just a positive conversation, which is, you know, the start of the season, that was a long way away, wasn't it? So it's great, mate, and it's just lovely to be on and just talking all things Villa with you.
Well, thank you everyone for watching. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure and subscribe. Make sure to smash the likes on this video. And make sure to give it a share on all your socials. Spread the word about this podcast. And if you're listening to the audio, make sure to leave us a good review. That always helps. And make sure to let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much, Aaron, for your time.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever, as always, and Up the Mighty Villa.